Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational magazine for women since 2006. Sometimes I pinch myself, that's already been 11 years. I'm also the best-selling publisher behind the boutique publishing company InspiredLivingPublishing.com, which is dedicated to giving visionary female entrepreneurs, coaches, and health practitioners a voice in a high-profile media and publishing platform to share their wisdom, enhance their expert status, and bring their brand out of the shadows. Our most recent bestseller, Midlife Transformation, is available now at midlifetransformationbook.com. Today we're talking about one of my favorite topics, feng shui. And joining me today is Karen Rock-Cotter, a feng shui consultant and healthy lifestyle designer, educator, and the best-selling author of one of my most favorite books, and I'll tell you about that story in a moment, Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, and Make a Shift, Change Your Life. Karen will be serving up her top traditional feng shui tips for love, money, respect, and happiness, and sharing critical tips on how to create healthy homes in these modern times. Welcome, Karen.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I am too, and you know, when I say, and you know this from our personal conversation, when I say that your book, Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, is one of my favorites, I just want to tell our listeners what happened the first time we spoke. I was like, what? Karen? My God, her book has made every cut over the last 15 years, every time I wean out my bookshelves. Your book is still here, darling, because when I built my house, Dana and I built our house 17 years ago, your book guided every move. And when the construction guys would come in, they'd see these construction pieces of shaped construction paper on the floor because it would say, you know, a triangle in this color and tie a string around pipes going in this section. They would come in and go, what the heck is this ribbon tied around the drain pipe farm? And my honey, who is a contractor, would say, don't mess with any of her stuff. Just build around it. So Karen, I had to put up with a lot of teasing from a whole construction crew because I was implementing everything in your book. So I am truly excited to have you here today.
Boy, gosh, if you would have called me, I could have said, just get up this can of spray paint and just spray it on there. They're used to spray paint lines all over the place. They would have never known it wasn't one of theirs.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, I got teased for a while, but I wouldn't give up. We have four levels, and I did every level following your book. And the reason I love it is it simplified a topic that so many people can get overwhelmed and confused about. You helped me see how every aspect worked, right, and how it related to my life. So let's. Why don't we dive in by saying, how the heck did you even get into feng shui?
Well, you know, it's a weird story. I'm a landscape architect by college training, and I had my own little design firm, and I had licenses in a bunch of different states, and I was in Hawaii, and I was offered a project for a hotel owned by China Airlines, and they said, if you don't know how to design with feng shui, you know, we can't give you the job. So I'm like, oh, I can do that, you know, and I just ran back to the state, you know, the mainland to try to learn it as fast as I can, and I got the job, and then I started, you know, getting work because I knew feng shui, and then when I wrote the book, nobody cared that I was a landscape architect anymore, so it was kind of fun because I, you know, I was really just doing it to survive as a landscape architect, and then I started learning about, like, why would a mirror do anything? What does a crystal have to do anything? I really had to start studying the science behind the law of reflection, the law of refraction, and, you know, I had to be sold hook, line, and sinker, you know, to make, before I could start peddling this on anybody else, so to speak, you know, so I was kind of a little skeptic coming in, not skeptic, I mean, I've done a lot of, you know, I did Tai Chi, yoga, a lot of Eastern philosophy type meditation and things, and so it fit into my sphere of influence as far as what I was into, but I just didn't get it, you know, but as someone who owns has a design degree, you know, I thought, oh, there, you know, it's pretty much a lot of design principles as well. But then when you add the psychology of space and what three-dimensional space and patterns, laws of nature mashed together do to the average human, now we're intrigued. I'm like, oh my gosh, you can really bring about a change through your three-dimensional environment. I'm all in. So, you know, as a landscape architect, we would design spaces that would be, you know, we're trying to get people to socialize over here. We're not trying to get people to skateboard over there. We're not, you know, like, so we were manipulating three-dimensional space to do certain things. So when, you know, when I ran across feng shui, I thought, oh, well, that's just another one of those, you know, more subtle design ways of actually bringing about and getting people to do and have and be what that you want them to be in that space. And so, it, you know, a lot of people just think it's a bunch of randomness, but if you come from a design background, it makes a lot of logical sense, too. And so I just started, you know, experimenting in my own house, you know, 1 week of this and 1 week of that. Let's see how my life was different. And eventually, you know, it completely changed my life. I was never intending to be a best-selling author, never even thought about writing a book. Never thought about being an international speaker, you know, just like weird. I was just going to be a landscape architect. And I can't tell you how, you know, much more fulfilling my life is now that I allowed and got in the flow of life, which feng shui just brings you to the best opportunity level is kind of how I would describe it. You know, you have the choice of more dynamic things in your life if you so choose. So, and then I just got on the boat and rode, and I'm in the flow and just really couldn't be happier with what feng shui has brought into my life.
Well, and think about, look at the impact. I mean, I'm just one person, and you made such impact in my home, my family, and, you know, the ripple effect. And let's see, if my grandson's 17, so we built in 2001, and I think your book, it was brand new, so I think it came out, what, around that time, 2000, 2001?
January of 2000. Y2K day.
Well, oh, it did?
I recommended it. I was going to blow up 10 minutes before my book came out on the stand.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm going to tell you, I've recommended this book to so many friends and Dana's clients, right, to say, listen, you got to do this. And I love hearing the story because it's like it's you have that mixture because you had that background. It's almost like the esoteric with the grounded.
Exactly. I just really needed to make it make sense for myself, you know, and then if I could share that with, you know, and I could never finish a feng shui book out at the time, which there were very few at that time when I was learning. But when I set out the goal and my intention was to write a feng shui book that not only would people laugh while they learned, you know, but they would actually get to the end of it, which I just struggled to get to the end of any other feng shui book. So, you know, that was the intention I set up. And, you know, quite a few people have read all the way to the last page of that little darn book. So I think mission accomplished on that.
Oh, most definitely, because what I loved about it is, like you said, sometimes you had a giggle, and there was, I'm looking for the one, I remember there's something called cha-ching. I think it was in the abundance area. I still remember right. One of the titles. And here's what I loved, Karen. I loved that I could look up a chapter, like, just for the health of it, or prosperity, and go, okay, let me check that area of the house. Because, you know, I've been in this home now, what, almost 17 years. Things change. I still refer to your book to go, oh boy, let me see if you know, things have changed in this area of the home. Mm-hmm. And then I use it as a guidebook to get back on track in case clutter moved into an area. But what I loved is when you go to the chapter, you made it so that I wanted to learn. like this should be in this area, this should not. Especially when you see hazardous materials for prosperity, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want any of that stuff. But see how simple it was? I immediately would go, okay, I can do these things. And you made it practical and easy. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And I think of every woman out there, if they have 1,000 square feet that they're in charge of, you know, times all of us doing it together. Think of the global impact of that many square feet mindfully set up for prosperity, abundance, health, and happiness. I mean, eventually, you know, we'll hit that tipping point covering the globe, you know. So my book's in many languages, and it's all over the world. So I'm hoping that the little fabric textured feng shui cloth that we're weaving around the planet is all going to connect and have a, you know, a big tipping point type impact one of these days.
Well, I can already feel it happening. So when we come back from our break, I want to talk about first some of your favorite success stories, but you know I want to dive into getting some juicy info, like, you know, some of the things that you would recommend that someone focuses on first. So we'll be back in a moment. Your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Karen Carter of KarenRockCarter.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. So, Karen, in all the years that you've been doing this, are there any success stories that, you know, someone like me that you worked with and they were really blown away by the transformation that happened in their lives as a direct result of these powerful principles?
Oh my gosh, give me a subject and I'll give you one. I've got so many.
All right, let me pick one. How about, because I know everyone right now and the energy that's going on now, let's do abundance.
Abundance. Oh, well, gosh, that's, I could go on and on and on. I mean, you know, people, it's really funny how the simplest things, you know, there's like the Zen philosophy of the, it's like he who does least gets most result, you know, like all these paradoxical type of things. And I hear people just saying the simplest things that they did, but they did it with such clear intention. You know, intention is more than half of the actual feng shui cure or change. And I'll say that, you know, we are arranging our environment to impact our life. A lot of people think feng shui is just fixing your house. It's like, should my front door be red or not? I don't know, because I need to know about you first, you know? So it's really looking at your life and then coming back to how you can make a change to impact your life, as opposed to some people think feng shui is just, you know, red door, blue carpet, you know, whatever it is for the sake of feng shui, you know, and it's really not. So getting your intention clear is key. So, oh my gosh, my one friend, she was, you know, renovating her kitchen, and she just painted the ceiling purple because she thought, I'll paint it a different color if I don't like it. And then she ended up, you know, that day after they painted it, they won the Super Bowl pool at the party that she was at, and her husband was like, "We're painting the whole kitchen purple, Anne-Marie." You know. So it's just funny how, you know, just oddball opportunities show up, and oh my gosh, I mean, so many related to jobs and prosperity, promotions, and getting raises. I'm trying to think of a specific one besides the paint purple. The purple paint one. Trying to find a juicy one. I don't know. I'm just getting all...
I know, because there's so many, too. Well,
I know.
Don't we,
my brain is, like, spinning at the moment.
So why don't we go to... If there was something that a beginner was going to start with, what do you usually recommend are the top three things to do in any home?
Okay. Well, one of the things is actually be plugged into the flow, and so making it obvious and easy to get from the street to your front door, so opportunity can literally knock. And I see some people whose front doors are so hard to find, where they're on the side of a building or confused because there's another door on the front of the building that's not the front door, and people normally go to that door, which is the wrong door, or they never open up their front door because they've got it blocked by a piece of furniture because everybody knows to go over to the kitchen door or something like that. The architecturally intended front door I would pay a lot of attention to, because that is the mouth of the house or the mouth of your office building or retail establishment or whatever you're feng shuiing, where all the energy comes in, just like the mouth of our body gets our water, food, air into our body. So if your door is hard to find, you know, we need to, like, Goldilocks it, or is it Hansel and Gretel? Drop the breadcrumbs, you know, from the street to the front door, you know, maybe hang a chime on the doorknob side of the door to attract energy if it's hard to see. Make sure the light works, the doorbell rings, maybe you can start putting patterns on the way to the front door, like welcome mat, bright happy flowers, you know, mi casa is su casa, you know, whatever. Just make sure it's obvious that the front door is where the front door is located. And then once you get in, I'm going to recommend one of my web pages, and it's easier to type than KarenRaoCarter.com, because who knows how to spell that, right? So moveitwithkaren.com. If you go there, I have a webinar on the best furniture positioning. And this takes into account not putting yourself in a vulnerable position, making sure you are gathering, quote, respect wherever you go, and so that you are safe, healthy, honored. It's not like you're, like, saying, oh, I didn't see that one coming. You know, you're not surprised or skittish or anything like that. So getting yourself in the most opportune environment, like for your headboard of your bed and your chair back of your office chair or wherever you spend your daytime, those would be the two top spots. And if I were to throw in a third, it would be where you're standing at the stove. If you get those three spots empowered, and if you go to moveitwithkaren.com and watch the little webinar, you'll be able to, you know, obviously get what I'm talking about. We want a solid wall behind you, behind the headboard, behind the chair back, and to be able to see who's coming in the door without being in line with the door. That would be the prime, you know, orientation. If I were to say, you know, this is pretty much everybody wins from that. It's, you know, like I say, I'm looking for unique cures for unique situations in life. But that that command position pretty much works for everybody. So feel free to experiment with that. And if you have a window above the head of your bed, if you have a a mirror above the headboard of your bed, windows somewhere on the headboard wall, or behind you when you're sitting at the office, and you shift it to this this particular position with a solid wall behind you, you will definitely see improvement in your life by the way of you'll just have more respect. People will you'll be using less of your personal energy to get where you want to go. So that's what the in the flow type means. It's like you're just not working for every little crumb and morsel that you get. It shows up and you reach in and grab the opportunity when you choose. So you know, just make life easy, right? So get in that good position.
Well, let's say someone can't move it to a solid wall. Give it, use one example. What would a cure to that be? Because in the book, you know, it was like, okay, if you can't do this, here's the cure. You know, that's my word. What would you recommend if someone's bed is under the windows, or use the example if their office chair is with the windows behind them?
Right. Well, the color red stops energy. It does two things. It stops energy and it attracts energy. And that's why some people paint their front door red. For those of you who are like, is the front door red a good thing? You might need it if you have trouble seeing your front door to attract energy. But red also stops energy depending on your intention. So you would place, let's say your office chair is in a cubicle, and you've got the opening to your little cubicle behind you, because that's how cubicles are. You're facing inward, and then behind you is your little doorway. So you could hang a red jacket or a sweater on your chair back with the intention, and it looks like it's just sitting there in case you get chilly, you know. But it's really there with the intention of blocking and stopping that door energy from hitting you in the back, so you don't have the life circumstance, because what's going on in your environment is going on in your life. So you don't have the life circumstance of the old, I didn't see that one coming, or they're talking behind my back, or what's going on behind my back, etc. When you have your back exposed, you are vulnerable from behind. And so those types of complaints usually come up with people who have windows behind them like that. So your headboard up against a window, you know, you could run a red line across the top molding or the bottom windowsill with the intention of energy from outside, you're not coming through that window and hitting me on the head. You're stopping the energy. So that would be another one of those red paint, red ribbon cures that you were talking about in the beginning as well.
Well, and I want to share something, because the reason I asked that question is I'm a yes in both circumstances. And I used your cure 17 years ago. The way my house was built, we're facing the water, so Dana and I both love our bed right up against these huge windows. We look at the moon every night, and the water is under us. And when we were building the house, I'm like, the bed is going there. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? And guess what? One of the things I did was run the string. Mm-hmm. I drew the red line under the windowsill, and then I ran a string under the heat. And then on the flat side of the bed against it, I also, way back then especially, had, I think it was construction paper, red construction paper. Mm-hmm. And our bed has been there forever, but it brings us peace. But I did do the cures, and they're still there, you know? Mm-hmm. I have to update it. And same with my office chair, so I was giggling. I have the giant windows behind me, which I love, but I implemented the cures. So I love about the red sweater over my chair, too. I could add that one. That's one of the reasons I was curious, to make sure that I still, you know, I have everything implemented, because it's just
right.
What I energetically love. But I have to say, it made the difference. I
don't have to throw the baby out with the bath. You know, you're like, oh, this house is never going to work. That's
no,
what
I may. I
about. Yeah.
What I loved about the book is it helped me create my intention. I didn't say it's not going to work. I said, okay. If I do this, I could feel that the energy was going to stop, right? Mm-hmm. Because, as you said, I created the intention that my choices and my cures were going to stop the energy. So, of course, that's what my experience has been.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing those. And when we come back, I'm going to have you dive deeper into some of the other tips you want to share. And I'll be back in a moment. And I'm going to use Karen's other website because I love that she has a video that will help you really understand this. So I'll be back in a moment with Karen of MoveItWithKaren.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Isn't it time for you to listen to your own internal compass, your intuition, rather than listening to all those around you? When you learn how to navigate using your intuition, you'll discover how to hear your soul's whispers so you live a life of purpose, joy, and abundance. Soulwise Living mentor Laura Clark provides women with the empowering tools and support to help them tame their inner critic, calm their emotions, and ground themselves so they can hear, trust, and act upon their inner guidance. If you're ready to awaken your intuition, visit soulwiseliving.com to schedule a complimentary sacred soul chat, read Laura's inspiring blog posts, and discover an array of free supportive resources.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And today is all about one of my favorite topics, feng shui. Karen, thank you. You were just sharing, you know, the importance of our front door. And if we have bed or office chair against the windows, what are some of the things I'm curious about? Can you now, after so many years of doing it, walk into someone's house for the first time, you know, and maybe a new client, and know immediately what areas need to be tweaked from an energy point of view?
Yes. I mean, it's you know, I can tell them what's going on in their life. I can also, when they tell me I'm out and about, like I'm not even at their house, and they're like, I'm going to have a shoulder surgery. Is feng shui can do anything for me for that? I go, oh yeah, get that knife out of your nightstand. They're like, how did you know I had a knife in my nightstand? I'm like, well, I just see the pattern. You know, like I've just, you know, it's kind of like the doctor sees the certain rash and he goes, that's measles. He knows the pattern, you know, so, if you go to thousands of people's homes, you hear what their problems are, you see what they got in their house, you pretty much start getting the patterns. And it's, you know, it doesn't become so unusual when you just go, oh, it's pretty much the same problem, has the same stuff in their house, and that's the arrangement, and got it, you know, so you can predict it pretty easily. And, so I can go both ways. I can look in the house, and I can you know, get the vibe of the person pretty easily. And I think a lot of people do it just generally. I mean, if you take your taxes to your tax person and they've got like stacks and stacks and piles and stuff of tax things all around them, you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to drop my thing off here. It might never be found again.
Yeah.
You know, you're starting to make judgments about the clutter level and how much, you know, this person thinks they can take. You know, you just have a whole bunch of judgments about that person and their and who they are and how organized they are, et cetera. So I go into people's homes and I can pretty much, you know, laser focus, ask them the questions that would bring out what's going on in their life just because I can see the patterns. You know, it's pretty simple.
Well, especially because you've worked with so many people over the years, it's just you're accumulating all this knowledge and wisdom and, as you just mentioned, seeing the patterns, which help you identify it. I've always been drawn to it since your book, and like I joked with you on the phone when we first met, was like, oh my God, every cut of the books, you know, Dana would go, honey, you know, 300 books is enough. And I'm a book geek, so, but yours has made every single cut over 17 years. And it's in front of me now, you know, all like beaten up. One of the things too, a lot of people, I've had friends ask, and that's why I refer your book, because I know there's no-nos in the bedroom, right? And I've told some of my single friends this too, who are still single and struggling. So what are some of the big no-nos that someone might not even be putting the two pieces together, but they're struggling in that area of their life?
Well, from a love point of view, or finding love, or, you know, even getting the love back, you know, bringing back the fire, you know, the spark or whatever. Things that drag a love life down would be still life, dried flowers, anything dead, pet ashes, you know, things like that. Frigid art, like snow scenes with a lone wolf in it. Obviously, single art where it's a single subject, one flower, one woman, one, you know, I wouldn't have yourself as a child. I would not have any plush, youthful, young, you know, small children type things in the bedroom. If you're, you know, if you're, you know, looking for a mature relationship, I would say. But that, you know, there's variance to that. You know, some people are like, oh, we just like goofing off and being like little kids together. You know, whatever, that's fine. It's just not my place to judge. I'm just trying to get it to be what they want it to be. So I usually take everybody else's eyes out of the bedroom that is not those who sleep there. So I don't want Jesus, Mary, Buddha, Gandhi, you know, Krishna, whatever. I take away those upper chakra things away from, you know, the two functions of the bedroom are health and rejuvenation of your body and passion. And so anything that is not supporting that gets out of the room. Sometimes I close the curtains because a big view is a distraction to those two functions. Television, you know, one night stand. I say if you don't want one night stands, you know, get another one, you know. So single night stands. I have single girls that have two nightstands. And like, I got the two matching nightstands, and I open up the drawers, and they have their stuff filled in both of them. And I go, well, there's no room for him. You know, so you really have to carve out space as and consider it not yours. Like if you were married, you know that's not your nightstand to put your stuff on. This is your nightstand to put your stuff on. So you, when you're single, you just have that nightstand over there and you consider it not yours. You don't drop stuff on it. You don't, you know, oh, I'm just going to use one drawer. It's not yours to, you know. So carving out the space to hold the infinite potential of relationship, because space is not nothing. Space is filled with infinite potential. And that's where the clutter conversation comes in. You know, obviously clutter is detrimental to bringing in those opportunities to grab in the flow of life as well. Now, from a health point of view in the bedroom, you know, if your bed has plugs in for any reason, I would recommend it not having it plugged in. Those motorized beds and all these things, and people are waking up now and they have to look at something. How did I sleep? Oh, it tells me I slept well, you know. I'm getting rid of anything high-tech out of the bed, bedroom. I want your cell phone off and out of the bedroom, or at least off and charging somewhere not near the bed, because I don't want any wires touching or near the bed because they throw electrical fields. And if there's a motor involved and something's on that's drawing, like your little digital clock, you know, you would have electromagnetic fields. And so all these things disrupt sleep patterns, and sleep deprivation is probably one of my top conditions that I deal with, because lack of sleep just snowballs so many different ailments. You know, tiredness is the first sign of illness, you know? And so if I can't get you to have a good night's sleep, you know, who knows what the health outcomes are going to be from this. So I really care a lot about around the bed. And maybe there's is there a shower valve on the other side of your headboard wall from the master bathroom? Or is there a television throwing electromagnetic fields through the wall into your headboard area of your bed? Are you sleeping above a garage? Are you sleeping where your, you know, bedroom is on stilts, you know, like in pilings, and there's sheer space underneath your house? You know, I look at all the juxtapositions of where you are in space and what is around you. Is there a toilet directly above your head when you're sleeping on the floor above you, or a stove directly below you so you're sleeping directly over the stove? You know, so looking at what's up, down, on the other side of the wall, you know, you have to think 3D, you know, and what is nearest you makes the most impact on you. So I care about what's close by, even if it's on the other side of the wall.
I'll have to tell you, Dana, we've been together 22 years. One of his biggest things is sleep. And back when I read your book, and I don't remember if that's what started it, but one, we both agreed when we met, no TV in the bedroom. And then as we were building this house, there's no electricity. I shouldn't say that. There's no electrical items in there. I use a battery clock, which I don't even really use anymore. Don't bring the laptop to bed. I see so many people that wake up with a laptop next to them or in between them. You know, I talk to friends. So, yeah, that's one thing I can say I don't have in our room is I'm very conscious of that. But just recently, I'll add something. Just recently, but it was a conscious decision, I brought in an aromatherapy diffuser, which is on the other side of the room, because I wanted that. That is electric. But it's not near the bed, it's across the room. But that's the only plugged-in item in the room. And I just recently started using it because I love the lavender and experimenting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think those are all great tips, because it is so important. How we sleep affects every other aspect of our lives.
And if you've got your Wi-Fi router under your bed, which I just recently found, a lot of miscarriages, a lot of fertility issues, I have found to be directly related to the, quote, high-tech stuff in the house for those women out there that are having those types of issues. I just wanted to say that. If you have young children, you know, try to keep the Wi-Fi baby monitor. You know, like, there's just so much high-tech stuff. I'm like, get, you know, just don't bring all that stuff into the house, because keeping it low-tech is pretty important to our cellular biology. You know, these things don't run on magic. Don't put your cell phone on your pregnant stomach to play music to your baby, because every 5 minutes it's pinging a pulse, you know, to try to find a tower, and it's going through the placenta and everything else, you know. So and keep laptops away from the lap, you know.
It's a little thing. Well, especially, there's so many people that don't even realize they have sensitivities to EMF. I'm so glad that you covered that, because I've become, I don't want to say more sensitive, I'm more aware now of what's around me, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want all that. Like, I have a beautiful Himalayan salt lamp in front of me now, because when I'm on the computer, so yes, it's electric, but I want the salt to counteract what the computer does. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing those tips. And when we come back from a break, we can talk about some of the other fun stuff that everybody talks about with feng shui, but that maybe they're not sure how to use them, which is crystals and mirrors. And we'll be back in a moment with Karen Rock Carter of MoveItWithKaren.com. Be sure to swing by there and check out that instructional video.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
What if you could live the life of your dreams, the life that you came here to live? What if you were able to honor your gifts and passions, turn them into a heart-centered business, and make a big difference in the world, all while living authentically and doing the work you love? It is possible. Patricia Young, president and founder of InnerProsperityAcademy.com, knows that awakening to your own truth, aligning with your life purpose, and having your own business is one of the most exciting and courageous things you will ever do in your life. Patricia helps spiritual, sensitive, and growth-oriented women start, grow, or transition into a business they love so they can go from working for a paycheck to working for a mission. For supportive resources, programs, and more to help you do just that, visit InnerProsperityAcademy.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on Om Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And we're going to dive in a little deeper and talk about crystals and mirrors and what the heck they have to do with feng shui.
Those were probably the two things that I was like, exactly. I can learn this feng shui stuff, but I'll never... You know, what does a mirror and a crystal have to do with it? Well, mirrors use the law of reflection. So what is out there is in the mirror. There is, you know, there's no difference from a feng shui point of view between it or a reflection of it. So therefore, you don't want to have yourself reflected while you're sleeping, because now there's two of you sleeping, and the energies that are trying to come back to restore your body are now being cut in half, and half is going to you over there in the mirror, and the other half is going to you in real life over here. So that's why I wouldn't recommend having a mirror reflecting you while you sleep. So get it above the dresser, hang a cloth over it if you have to, or remove it, or those closet doors, you know, the whole room is doubled, creating a excess yang condition. We're looking for yin, smaller, cozier, cushier in the bedroom. Not bigger, louder, harder, brighter. So these McMansionized shaped master bedrooms that are so big, you know, you could house a party for 50 in there. It really is not conducive to the togetherness and the curl up, sleeping. If you don't like your bedroom to go take a nap in, you know, if you choose another bedroom, I would consider what are the qualities of that bedroom that you prefer napping in over your bedroom and try to create that, or better yet, move your bedroom to that napping space and do something else in your master bedroom.
Because that's like a message to your body, right? Your body's saying, I'm not comfortable here. That's why you go into another spot.
Yeah. When you nap, you know, you kind of retreat. You get off the beaten path and you go to a smaller space. It's a little bit darker. And some people just in the name of, because it's got to be big, because it means, you know, I'm the master bedroom owner, you know, I don't know why people think it has to be so big, but it really does not. It's kind of like when there's two people in the elevator, you don't touch that person. But when there's 15, you know, you're touching, you're shoulder to shoulder, and you're touching, and that's okay to be touching because there's 15 in there. But when 13 get out, are you still touching that person? No. You've pulled away, and you've taken up that amount of space with the two people, or the four people, or the eight people, or however many it is, it's divided by that. So when you've got a giant bedroom divided by two, you know, and somebody's really, really, really close to you in a really big bedroom, it's like, get off me, you're breathing on me. Ah, you know, there's a sense of too closeness, the psychology of space point of view. So I really, if you're looking for to get, you know, the traditional feng shui cure for aiding a better love life and relationship would be to get a smaller bed. And now I'm actually saying get a smaller bedroom often, because sometimes these rooms are just so darn big. And sometimes there's not even a door between the master bathroom and the bedroom. And now the bedroom just seems to go on and on and on and on. And there's just nooks and crannies and spaces. And it's just too big to feel comfortable just taking a little nap in this acre of space.
And I could feel like your energy would be getting drained from all these openings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very depleting. And people just, I don't know, it's kind of interesting how the looking good to others, even though it's your master bedroom, like who should even be in there? The looking good to others, like I have a big master bedroom. I just don't know what people think they're getting from that. Because from a health and a good night's sleep point of view, and from a relationship building and closeness and togetherness point of view, it really doesn't serve either one quite well.
No, it doesn't. And the way you just explained it, I think people will really see the energetic understanding of it too. So I love crystals, but tell me how you use them and what types of crystals are you talking about?
I'm talking about round, leaded glass, multifaceted crystals, like a Swarovski-type crystal, not a natural stone crystal.
Okay.
And
I have these two.
Yep, these crystals are the disco balls of feng shui.
It's so funny. Yeah. That's what my granddaughter calls it.
So a disco ball, she probably sees the light coming through. So a disco ball takes a stream of light and it breaks it and diffuses it very symmetrically around a room. All those little dots just perfectly formed all around the room. So same thing with photon energy going through a crystal. It's the law of refraction, where something comes in and then it bends and it goes out at another line. So if you have that traditional front door, back door situation or front door staircase right in front of you, you would hang a crystal somewhere between the front door, back door, or front door, big view, back window, or the front door, staircase, straight ahead situation to break that line, because you don't want the energy to come in the front door and straight out the back. I call that diarrhea of the house. So we want to keep the energy in the house and sprinkle it around the house before it has a chance to run straight through. Does that make sense? So if you have like your, and that's why I said get out of, put your headboard up against a solid wall to be able to see the door but not be in line with it. Because when you're in line with it, if you walk in your bedroom door and you keep walking straight, 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 and eventually you run into a part of your bed, that body part that's laying on that part of the bed is getting hit and run over with a pretty hefty charge of energy running through there. And so you would hang a crystal between the door and the bed to break that line. If your bed happens to have to be in line with the door, you hang a crystal between the two to break that line. So crystals are used to break straight lines. Mirrors are used, they have several intentions. You can deflect things away. Let's say you had a noisy neighbor on the other side of your headboard wall. You would place a mirror behind your headboard wall facing the wall with the intention of bouncing their loud energy back on them, something like that. Mirrors double things, which can be good or can be bad. Like I was saying, in the bedroom, not so great to have a mirror because now you've doubled everything. But in some cases, it might be good to double something. Like I talk about in the book, the burners of your stove, the more burners you have, the more prosperity you can generate, because the stove is a prosperity building item in the house. So you might want to reflect your stove burners. If you have four, put a mirror nearby. Now you've got eight. And so that would be a doubling in the good way use for a mirror. And mirrors erase walls. You know, if you mirror a wall, it kind of looks like it's not there. You know, just like, oh, it's a whole bigger space there, but it really isn't. There might be causes for that. Sometimes if you have walls that are not 90-degree angled, you might use a mirror here and there to sort of straighten out a funky, wonky corner type thing. If you're sleeping above a garage, or, you know, you would place a mirror face down under your bed to push anything like toxic fumes from the car and the noise and the yangness and the clutter away from you. So that would be some, you know, ways of using a mirror to, you know, as a feng shui cure to help something where you can't get out of a particular orientation or, you know, pattern organization of furniture.
Those are all great tips. And I want to take a moment too, Karen, because I want to mention your other book and how they can get it before we close. And it's Make a Shift, Change Your Life. And if I remember correctly, they can get both of the books at your website, which I want to spell out for everyone. It's Karen Rauch Carter. It's Karen, and then it's rauchcarter.com. And I have your most recent book in my hands, too, The Make a Shift, Change Your Life, Simple Solutions to Transform Your Life from Drab to Fab Now. And I'm enjoying it. I just recently got this one, and I am diving in, and I wanted to be sure to bring that up, because you spent 20 years, you know, living this and teaching mm-hmm. it. And this is about, you know, health and happiness practices from many modalities worldwide. So tell us a little bit about it in the last few moments that we have.
Sure. Well, Make a Shift, Change Your Life is, yeah, Move Your Stuff is, I wrote that in 1997, so it's, you know, and it was time to get some new information out there. Make a Shift is divided into mind, body, spirit, and environment parts. So you've got the mindset exercises. You know, I care about the visible three-dimensional environment, but I also care about the invisible environment, and one of those are your thoughts. Thoughts are very impacting. Like I said, the law of intention plays a big part in feng shui, and we have to make sure you don't have chronic, unresourceful thinking. So that's the mind section. The body, if you want to learn about the yin and yang of foods and maybe some, you know, some of the things that you might be doing that you don't even know just might be undoing your health, the body section has a lot of tips in it. And then, of course, the environment is all the stuff that didn't end up in Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life. So it's all the things that got edited out. I'm like, by golly, I'm going to get them in there somehow. So Make a Shift, Change Your Life has even more feng shui tips beyond Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, of course. And then the spirit part, I just talk about from meditating, tithing, all these things that are considered more, quote, spiritual in their orientation, I guess I'd say, but definitely have an energetic force that you can change your life with as well. So I've studied a lot of different authors and trainers and sort of combined what I use on a day-to-day practice, because like I said, I don't, you know, I know I'm known as a feng shui consultant, but I'm really a make your life better consultant, and I really don't care what modality it comes from. I have pulled from plenty of different modalities. I just happen to be most known as the feng shui consultant. But when I come to people's houses, they're like, wow, you do way more than feng shui. Of course, I do the healthy home testing, and I'm testing for, you know, electromagnetic fields and things. And, you know, they're just like shocked at how much broader toolkit I bring than just feng shui. So that's Make a Shift, Change Your Life has a lot of that in it.
Well, I am so glad that I got a chance to get a feel for your most recent book. And again, everyone, visit KarenRauchCarter.com, and that's R-A-U-C-H, Carter.com. Karen, thank you for being here. And this conversation, I could spend hours talking to you about this. So thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm just, whatever I can do to help your adoring fans of your magazine and such, you know, I'm here to help. So if we need to do another one in the future, I'm here for you.
Well, thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone for joining us for today's show. Listen in every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern for more intimate and sacred conversations with gifted women like Karen who are here to share their feminine wisdom to support you in living your best life. For even more inspiration, claim your free subscription to Aspire Magazine, which includes over 40 transformational gifts. You can claim that at subscribe.com/aspire. Until then, choose love, choose joy, and choose happiness. Blessings, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.